The toy bar is open! Come wander on in, grab a stool, and hang out with a drink while your hosts and toy barflies, Jason Duvall and Dave Draper, discuss, argue, and celebrate their love of toys, games, and all things collectible. Brought to you by... we'll get back to you on that. This is Dave and Duvall's Toys
and Collectibles.
I'm good.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to an all-new episode of Dave and Duvall's Toys and Collectibles right here on ToyWorldOrder.com. Brought to you by nobody except for Dave and I's love.
Yes.
Our love and our joy. Our love and our joy.
Well, clearly not for anybody else.
No, Duvall. We were just having
this conversation. Angry Duvall. Yeah,
Dave was like, you're angry. And I'm like, I know. I'm like, God damn it.
Pesky Duvall.
I try not to be angry with Dave because
you weren't mad at me.
No, I'm not mad at Dave at all. Let's requisition that.
I'm lovable.
Yes,
and easy like Sunday morning.
Yes, I'm not angry at Dave. I'm angry at the world. Like pretty much, I'm just like ah.
Yeah, you specifically. I was one of three people you specifically excluded from your mass hatred of all.
Yes. Yes, you were.
Which was a comfort.
It's like, I love you, I love my wife, I love my mother, I hate everyone else.
Yeah.
And I'm sure the listeners are going, oh, good. Great, thanks, Duvall.
Let me put it this way. I'm unmarried and my mom died years ago, so.
Oh, shit. We're back. We're back for another week of Toy Talk in the humble Duvall abode for once.
Yes, I know. Yes, I know. Yes, not to make you feel bad, but... Somebody was literally sitting there staring at the door.
Oh, poor.
Oh, it was heartbreaking. I kept going, he's not coming, baby.
Poor baby.
He didn't love you anymore.
Oh, poor baby. Oh, Ray, poor thing.
Yeah, so you're not gonna hear a little thumping around on this episode.
Just a sad little puppy dog.
She was, man. And then you texted me at one point. She lost her mind.
Oh, yeah, because she knows my text. She knows the noise from my text, yeah.
Although now she knows it in context. Where, like, used to be whenever it would go off at all, she'd freak out.
She'd lose her shit.
Now she knows, like, late in the afternoon
if
it goes off.
Yeah. Because I think I sent you that text early this morning.
No, I thought you sent me a text this afternoon. Maybe I was just playing on my phone.
Oh. Because I think I sent you a text. Yeah. Anyway.
I'm sure. Hey, toys are good. We like toys.
Yeah, toys good. Toys good.
12:30.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
You know, if we're going to talk about that news. Interesting, I guess. John.
Oh yeah. No, it's up here. We'll talk about it.
Okay.
Yep. We'll.
Okay.
Let's see. Okay. What's going on in the movie world?
I don't know. There are movies.
There are movies.
Movies exist.
I don't know if we talked about the Toxic Avenger reboot that they cast Peter Dinklage as Toxie.
I don't remember them casting Peter Dinklage as Toxie.
Yes.
Weird.
He is going to be the Toxic Avenger.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure he'll play himself, like, you know, Toxie, I'm sure, is going to be CGI or...
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I was going the other way.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah,
he was post-Toxie.
Yeah. No, he's pre-Toxie, I'm sure, but he's still going to be Toxie.
Yeah, like Andy Serkis.
Yeah, what's interesting is that they're... This might be one of the... It's legendary doing the film, so it might be the first, like, real big-budget... Troma film. Even the Legendary's producing. I don't know if Troma's ever had a big budget feature. Everything they ever did was super low budget. But joining Peter Dinklage will be Kevin Bacon as the villain of the film.
Okay.
So there's that. I was like, well, that's super interesting.
To be fair, Kevin Bacon was so ubiquitous at one point, there's a game. 6 Degrees of Kevin Bacon.
Yeah, I know. So it's very interesting. We don't know how this... Slash Film says, it's a little hazy exactly how much this new movie will serve as a pure reboot compared to a remake, but either way, they can see Bacon as a charismatic politician who uses his position of power to line his own pockets. Of course, he previously played villains in other superhero movies.
What the hell's the difference between a reboot and a remake?
It's good question. The Toxic Avenger follows a struggling everyman who, when pushed into a vat of toxic waste, is transformed into a mutant freak who must go from shunned outcast to underdog hero as he races to save his son, his friends, and his community from the forces of corruption and greed.
His son, gee.
Yeah, so they're doing a little bit of...
They're messing with the formula.
No, I'm all right with it. Toxies. Dude, the original Toxic Avenger films are something all on their own.
But that first one is, like, it's almost like a horror film.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
I mean, because even though the people who all get murdered are terrible people, it's still so a horror bad. Film.
So bad.
It's been a while.
Oh. They did four of them.
I saw the first one.
The fourth one was Toxic Crusader 4, Citizen Toxie.
Yeah. And they did the cartoon, because you have the toys.
I do. So they, let's see, where is it? She-Hulk, they've cast the villain in the form of the Good Place actress Jameela Jamil.
Okay.
You've never watched The Good Place, but no. She was great in that show. She will be playing...
Titania?
Yeah, Titania.
Okay.
Next to Tatiana Maslany from Orphan Black as Jennifer Walters, so she'll be playing opposite of her. But yeah, she'll be playing Titania.
Okay.
Yeah. Who is a frequent villain, frequent rival of She-Hulk, but like Dave was saying...
Well, it's just that her origin and Volcano were both from Secret Wars.
Yeah.
They were literally created on Battleworld.
Yeah.
You're going to have to come up with an all-new origin, I assume.
Yeah, you know Marvel. I mean, they'll take the essence and...
I don't even know if she was in the Ultimate Universe.
Oh, good call.
I mean, maybe, because a lot of the MCU is from the Ultimate Universe.
Yes.
So, I don't know. That was my first thought, was that's weird. Like, you're going to have to, like, do a whole new origin story.
Yeah. Apparently, Seth MacFarlane and Peacock are bringing a Ted series to Peacock.
Yeah.
We don't know what's, was ordered earlier this year, along with a show called The End Is Nigh, which is a upcoming show hosted by Bill Nye. So, we don't know any...
Oh, I get it.
Mm-hmm. We don't know any details on the story, but, there will be a Ted,
Well, I assume...
Mark Wahlberg may return. Wahlberg could return. I mean,
okay. I don't care. I never saw either film.
You never saw either one of them?
No.
Oh, they're fun. They're not the greatest films in the world, but they're fun. They made a shit ton of money. Turns out the Lord of the Rings: The War of Rohirrim. Did I say that right?
No.
Rohirrim. I like Rohirrim.
Writers of Rohan.
It will be an anime film and will be a companion piece to the Lord of the Rings trilogy films.
Okay. I mean, I kind of get what they're saying. I would have thought it would be more somehow tie in with the stupid Amazon?
The film will be held by director Kenji Kamiyama. Couldn't say that.
Easy for you to
say. Blade Runner, Black Lotus, and Ghost in the Shell standalone complex, and will plunge fans into a legendary battle that helped shape Middle-earth and set the stage for the epic adventures brought to life in the Lord of the Rings film trilogy.
Okay.
So it'll be basically Helm's Deep, the origin story.
Okay, I don't understand why that's not more of a tie-in with one of these stupid streaming services is doing the Lord of the Rings series.
Yeah.
And, like, Helm's Deep had to be, like, a long time ago.
Yeah.
I mean, okay. I mean, I don't have any opinions. Like,
I know.
Like, it's one of those things, like, in the book and in the movie, it's like, here's this really old fortress that was really important. And you go, okay. Cool.
Yeah.
Do I need to know why it was very important? Not really.
Not really. Now they're going to tell you why it was really important.
I guess. It's the history of Jack's tattoo.
Aquaman 2 is now called Aquaman and the Lost Kingdom.
Okay.
That's the official title of the production.
Okay.
Not sure what that will mean, but... Yep.
Dolph Lundgren.
Yep, Dolph Lundgren.
I'm jumping ahead of you.
I know. He was in the first one.
Who was he in the first one?
He was,
Was he the king of the other mermaid people?
Yes. Yeah.
Like, the kind of more mermaidy people?
Yep. Surprisingly, Amber Heard will still be a part of the cast.
Why is that surprising?
There's a lot of drama going on with her.
I guess.
I know she got kicked off some other productions, but,
I'm not a big fan of that kind of stuff. Regardless.
Oh, I know you're not.
Regardless of who it is or what they... Like, I don't like thinking about the outside stuff. I just want to watch Aquaman 2. I really like the first one.
Yeah.
And to quote Mr. Plinkett, I don't like it when stuff is different. So, like, I don't like it. Like, as much as I like Don Cheadle, as much as I like him in that role.
Right.
And he's actually, in the later films, he really grows on me.
Yeah.
He's not Trevor Howard or Terrence Howard or
I know.
The guy from the first film. And it will always, always bother me.
Yeah, I know. know.
I mean, even though I like Mark Ruffalo a billion times more than other guy.
Oh, shit, what was his name?
I don't know. The other actor from the film.
Yeah, I can't think of it.
Like, God, he's like the bigger star, too. But anyway, point being, like, there's still a little tiny... Like, I still kind of consider the Incredible Hulk film kind of over there by itself, even though you need to bring back the leader, and Ty Burrell has to have green hair and be Doc Samson and come up with really stupid plans.
Yep,
this is the thing that must happen.
Yes.
Sorry.
Mindy Kaling is doing a animated series for HBO Max based on Scooby-Doo in the form of Velma. Only this Velma show will not have anything to do with Scooby-Doo or Shaggy. And it will...
You know what? Scooby-Doo and Shaggy had enough shows of their own without Velma.
They are... they're going to reimagine the character as an East Asian character.
Okay.
And it's a 10-episode original comedy series about the unsung brains of the Mystery Inc. gang, Velma Dinkley, exploring the character's origins. So, I'm okay with it. I mean, I'm sure people will have something to bitch about.
There have been 2 billion Scooby-Doo...
Yeah, no shit.
...things. I mean, that was around, I think, the late 60s, early 70s. It's been around my whole life. There have been a million iterations. As I said, a lot of them don't even have Velma at all, so it's like...
Yeah. It won't be the first time the character has been portrayed as an Asian. Hayley Kiyoko played Velma in the live-action made-for-TV movie Scooby-Doo The Mystery Begins in 2009. So, it's not the first time for this idea.
Point being, like... If it bothers you that much, just go watch an old Scooby-Doo.
Yeah,
like
go watch the old Scooby-Doo cartoon.
If you have an issue with it, there's a billion white Velmas and a billion episodes of Scooby-Doo with Scooby-Doo.
Yep.
Like, calm down. I think that should be the title of the show. Just calm down.
Velma, calm down. The video game that actually is one of the few video games that have defeated me in my life.
Beat you like a rented mule.
Cuphead, if anyone has played that game, it's one of the hardest side-scrolling games I have ever played.
It's hard to watch a playthrough.
Yeah.
Emotionally.
Yeah. It's a rough fucking game.
But you got to explain, the shtick was that it was all hand-animated.
Yes, it was. It's an amazing thing to look at.
It's an amazing technological achievement.
Yeah, it's a frustrating game to play.
Yeah, it's hard as fudge.
You want to throw the controller against everything.
And it beat you.
It did. Netflix is bringing out something called The Cuphead Show. And Wayne Brady will be the voice of King Dice.
Oh, neat.
Uh-huh. So we'll see how this basically... the series is described as a character-driven comedy that follows the unique misadventures of the impulsive Cuphead and his cautious but easily swayed brother Mugman through their many misadventures across their surreal home of the Inkwell Isles. They've always got one another's backs. The series will expand on the characters and a world of Cuphead with the animation style inspired by the classic Fleischer animated cartoons of the 30s.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say inspired by the video game. I'm like, oh, no, this has to be absolutely 100% hand animated.
Yes.
Or we walk.
Yeah. Or we will riot.
Sure.
Sure.
Oh, my God. You jump around. It drives me crazy.
I do. I'm looking for the rest of my movie stuff. Hold on. Our buddy John Kent... the man
that's
in
not
charge.
A movie.
It fits in. Our buddy John Kent, who owns Toyfinity, who owned the licenses for RoboForce and Mangalores,
Rocks and Bugs and Things.
Ideal Space Force.
Star Force.
Yeah, bunch of Ideal stuff. He bought the rights for years ago. The Naseo Company, the company behind the toys that made us, has bought the property RoboForce from John Kent and Toyfinity, and they've commissioned a script for a new TV series, as well as plans to start producing new toys for the property, with the series planned to be out in 2022.
Oh, that's like a weird, ironic situation. I'm glad, like on the one hand, it's like, you know, oh, you don't have the license anymore, right when it's about to like...
Well,
not popular necessarily, but like right when it's like going to be able to sell a bunch of toys. But you know, I guess you made your money.
Yeah, I kind of poked at Kent today, and I was like, "Hey," and he's like, "Oh, it's been a busy year." I was like, "Oh well, now we need to talk to you because we need deets. Like, I need some deets, man." But yeah, I was like, I was both happy for him and kind of sad because
I think that's the thing is like he was a guy that like. Because obviously these are kind of obscure licenses. And
they were buried in fucking red tape.
But it felt more like just, it was a labor of love
yes.
than a business transaction for him.
And it makes me wonder, like, if he had done everything he wanted to do with property and was like, and Nassil, and he talked, and he was like, well, all right, you know, I've done all of the main characters in Glios form. You know, I've done this. I've done this comic. You know, it's time to pass it on to somebody else and see what they can do with it.
I just imagine there was a reasonable sized bag of money.
Well, there's that.
Because it's the 80s toy property. We don't have to, like, kiss Mattel or Hasbro's ass for.
There's that, too. Netflix. Netflix had their Geeked Week and announced... Ugh. I know, right? It's terrible. Announced the final season of Transformers War for Cybertron Trilogy. This one titled Kingdom will premiere on July 29th.
Hey, I like the toys that are out now.
And, of course, the teaser image for them shows us we're going into Beast Wars territory.
Like the toy line that's out now.
Exactly. So, we will be diving into Beast Wars territory, which should be very interesting and fun. So, it'll be a different take on the Beast Wars stuff. So, animated-wise, you know.
I would assume.
But, yeah, those will premiere on July 29th. And it will probably... People are very upset at that show because they use non-union actors for those shows. Nope. And it's like... Three guys do all the voices of the Decepticons, and they all sound pretty much the same.
Okay.
It's like, whoa. And all the a number of the Autobots sound like they're trying to do Optimus Prime, but it's, yeah. I haven't watched them. I've just seen what people have said about it, and I'm like, well, I don't know if I want to watch them now, because why wouldn't you hire union actors? Why wouldn't you bring in the voice
money?
Well, true, but Netflix has got fucking money.
Do they?
Well, that's...
Do they, though?
Good call. They keep greenlighting these series that cost like $100 million to make, and then they cancel
them. And they cancel them, yeah.
Todd McFarlane apparently is developing a TV series based on Spawn character Sam and Twitch.
Okay.
With the independent studio behind HBO's hit A Mare of Easttown. I've never seen it.
Oh, yeah, bad.
I've never seen it. We'll be working on a show featuring Detective Sam Birch and Twitch Williams. I thought that was interesting because I'm like, isn't he still trying to get this Spawn movie made? Like,
apparently not.
Weird. I don't know. Like, I always liked Sam and Twitch, but meh.
I mean, I vaguely remember that. I mean, I read like a big chunk of the early Spawn. I remember they were characters.
Yeah.
They existed. I have the toys.
They are a thing that exists.
Yeah.
And then yesterday Netflix...
Oh, here
dropped,
we go.
Yeah, yesterday Netflix dropped the trailer for the Masters Universe Revelation series, and this was something that Dave and I were basically talking about. That
one of the things.
I agree with Dave. I was very angry because I'm watching this trailer, knowing that the story is a Teela story, and knowing that everything they showed in the trailer is pretty much from the first episode.
It's from the first episode.
Like, I can't prove it, but I'm pretty sure that's what we're seeing.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like...
And people are very pissed because they're calling bait and switch, because they're getting...
That's... Look, and...
But my argument is, isn't every trailer bait and switch?
No!
I
think very few are.
I don't know, man.
I mean, they show you the good stuff, but like...
That's what a trailer's supposed to do, and that's what they showed you, was the good stuff.
Oh, my God, if all the good stuff is in episode one, then the show sucks.
Well, I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm not saying that's not the case.
I'm just saying, like, for Iron Man, right?
Right.
They didn't show, here's Captain America,
right,
the greatest hero in America's history.
True.
He's fighting the Red Skull.
True.
Iron Man sometimes helps.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And then the movie's Iron Man.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, this is what, it, like, if you're going to do a take, and my thing is, I don't have a problem with, because we just talked about Velma, and this is kind of, we were jumping all over the place. If you have a take on the subject matter, that's fine. And it could be interesting. And frankly, I think fans are too locked into... it's a thing. They always seem to want the same thing over and over again, but different. Same, but different.
Yeah.
Like a little child.
You can't do the same, but different.
If you need...
If you do different, it's not the same.
No, but if you need those...
Fucking people.
The 2000X series exists, I assume, on video. The...
DVD.
The
and Blu-ray.
Well, okay, but the... Video is in like
home
video. Like, point being, any of the stuff that you remember and you want, you can go and revisit.
Yeah.
And I understand people wanting to make more episodes 40 years later of the Filmation show, but that's not going to happen.
Apparently, the pop-up's trying to get me to buy adult toys.
Hey, Jesus, there you
guys.
Go. Hey, how are you doing?
I'm doing.
Anyway,
sorry. To get
my point
tail
being, I know it was just like. I'm fine with them doing a different take on the subject matter. I don't care because I like the canon. What I'm saying is, the trailer should have reflected that. In some, it should have just been at the end. It's like, oh my god, He-Man's gone. Now we have to like find him.
Would it have been worse had they have named the show He-Man and the Masters of the Universe Revelation instead of just calling it Masters of the Universe, hinting at the fact that it's not necessarily a He-Man story? Because the original series was He-Man and the Masters of the Universe.
I think you're reading too much into that.
No, I'm just throwing out.
I think if they had called it He-Man and blah blah blah, yeah, like that again. I think fans would have had a right to be really, really angry.
Right.
I think just calling it Masters doesn't necessarily signal that it's not involving He-Man.
Right.
And it's not that He-Man isn't in it, but that trailer was all fucking He-Man. Like, it was, you know, and I noticed that Teela has her classic look.
Yeah.
Which, yeah, she doesn't in the show.
Yeah, she won't eventually.
Yeah, she
And somehow Evil Lyn teams up with him as well.
Which, like, is an interesting, like, that's...
But what's interesting is there's an image that wasn't in the trailer that they released, that Skeletor with the classic shaping staff from the series, which sure. is a very interesting relic of Eternia.
I know that, but why don't you tell our listeners all about it?
You don't know that.
You can't prove that.
You can't prove that.
You can't prove what I don't know.
It was the first episode, first season episode.
Yeah, because the first one was the, I forget, Diamond of Disappearance or some shit, wasn't mm-hmm. it? That's weird, because, like, Adam looks like the 2000X Adam.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, this continuity is all over the place. It's crazy.
So the synopsis for the episode.
Do we need the whole synopsis?
No, we don't.
The episode?
Doesn't
that kind of look like the stick Orko comes with?
The king and... So there was a king and a wizard named Majestra that visits Randor in the palace, and then they reveal themselves to be evil and a base man, and then threaten the king with the shaping staff, which was discovered by the two villains in a cave in the Crystal Sea. Evil-Lyn uses the staff to transform Randor in a goat, and then discovers Orko, changes him into a cricket, and then they all kinds of shenanigans happen because of this thing. So my guess is Skeletor uses the shaping staff to basically reshape the world around him and tries to wipe out memory so he's the ruler of this world and rids...
Does he snap his fingers?
I know, right? I'm guessing. I don't know. But
apparently Kevin Smith did have a really good idea for this show. It was called Endgame.
It's called Infinity War, actually. Yeah. But so that's what's happening with that. And it's very interesting, but
we'll see what trailer... You know, I'm generally on your side with fans getting persnickety about things.
Right.
That trailer was full of lies. Like, all I'm... I know people who were expecting the show to be about Teela who saw that trailer and went, oh my god, it's actually about He-Man after all.
Yeah, no, it's a Teela.
Like, no,
it's a Teela story, people.
They should have been more upfront about that in the trailer.
The early synopsis for that show when they did that...
Again, man,
I know,
expect everybody to be these freaks that read everything.
I don't, I'm just
you
saying.
You do, too.
I'm just saying that when PowerCon happened and all that news around it, all those articles literally said it was going to be a Teela story. And I'm like, all right.
You're assuming people...
People read?
You know what? And the fair argument is if you're invested enough... To get angry about it, you should be invested enough to at least pay some attention.
Because that's what I was trying to articulate off air.
Okay.
And I couldn't because I was so angry and you were so mad at me because I was so angry.
I wasn't mad.
But you were so frustrated with me because I was so angry about it. That is what I was trying to articulate.
I'm more worried about your health than
anything. That is what I was trying to articulate, and you articulated it for me perfectly because I could not get there.
Communications major.
Yeah.
But yeah, like
that's my point. That's what makes me angry.
Because we've had this discussion before about, like, you think that fans, and I think fans in general do seek out knowledge, but they, you know, they don't always have an encyclopedic knowledge. Like you because you're the kind of fan that really does read everything and dig into everything, you do sometimes think that other people should do that too. And my thing is, a filthy casual should be able to enjoy something just as much as somebody who...
Fair enough. I agree.
But if you're invested enough to be angry, because I don't know if we're going to talk about Sandman, but like that was my thing, is These people are furious about the Sandman casting, who I don't think have ever read an issue of Sandman.
Well, yeah, let's talk about that. I didn't pull it up, but that was from... I think that was right after we recorded last week. They released...
Well,
we talked about the cast.
Did we?
We talked about the cast a few weeks ago. We were talking about how people were very angry.
They had the pronouns.
Because they had the pronouns and everything, which... Yeah. For the Sandman cast, you kind of have to.
You don't have
to, but
you don't, look, but here's the thing. It would you help. Don't have to, but it plays to the audience.
Yes.
And here's the thing. Like I
you've read the Sandman series.
Yes, I've read the entire series.
Yes.
And I'm a very big fan of the series. And my thing is, like, the best was a Google headline that was Neil Gaiman defends casting a non-binary actor or actress, right. A non-binary thespian to play a non-binary character.
Yeah, yeah,
they were like, they were furious that Desire was non-binary, and I'm like, okay, you people have never read the series.
Yeah, exactly. You've never read the series enough to understand that
that character was like, whatever, it was Desire. So, like, if you were, like, into guys, Desire would appear to you as a guy. If you were into girl, and it generally looked like a Nagel painting. They looked like a Nagel painting. Because this was just after the 80s. But they're like, I think they've switched fire now specifically on the casting of an African-American. I think she's African-American.
Yes, she is.
As Death. And they're getting into fights with Neil Gaiman over this.
No.
And the best part was someone was like, oh, you changed his character who's got this great personality. And Gaiman's like, no, we cast an actress who captured that personality.
Yes.
And you have to understand, there's multiple facets of why this whole fight is kind of annoying and dumb. The big one is that these people aren't fans of Sandman.
Correct.
I will tell you 100%, and I bet most of them have never read an issue, because Sandman was woke before woke was a thing. Yes.
Neil Gaiman's always
he's always been a, you know, a lot of these classic comics from the 80s that the Brits wrote were very left leaning. You know, Watchmen is very woke in its own way.
Yep.
You know, Doom Patrol is super woke.
Yeah.
But just the idea that, first of all, these characters aren't humans. They're not. They're personification of universal experiences. Right.
Right.
Dream, desire, death, destiny.
Yeah.
Despair, destruction, Olothros. That was great because they named him Olothros and were like, what. But fortunately, I knew a girl who studied Greek and Latin, so we cornered her. We're like, what's Olothros mean?
Right.
She's like, it means, like, wrecking thing? No, it has to start with a D.
Oh.
Destruction? Destruction.
Awesome.
Love you, Donna. Miss ya. But anyway, so the fact, like, and there's a general theory that there'll be, like, a montage of her various forms, and one of them will be the goth pixie girl.
Yes.
But that's the thing. It's like, it's not a person. It's an entity, and the third aspect is that, you know, yes, I'm one of those people that does get annoyed when someone takes a property, and I always use She-Ra as the example, even though I've heard it turned out good, where it was really Noelle Stevens' D&D campaign.
Yes,
but they used the She-Ra title, and they were very disrespectful to the original show. And I actually had a friend who was like, you know, the original show was just a toy cartoon anyway, and I'm like, yeah, but it was a toy cartoon that has name recognition after 30 years.
Yeah.
And no one was funding Noelle Stevens' D&D campaign. They were funding She-Ra because people know who the fuck She-Ra is.
Yeah.
So if you're using that, if that name is important enough and good enough for you to use, you can at least be the tiniest bit respectful to it.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that you have to be beholden to it. I'm not saying you can't do your own spin. But at least don't treat it like something you wiped off your shoe when you're hitching your star to it.
Right.
Right? Like, it wasn't Noelle Stevens' She-Ra, it was She-Ra, written by Noelle Stevens. So,
yeah.
But this is Neil Gaiman. Like, he created the character. He created the series. Like, if he's good with it, calm down.
Yeah, no shit.
Like, back off, man.
And Gaiman is famously one of those guys who kind of is hands-on with a lot of the aspects of stuff.
Well, that wasn't the first thing he said. Was, I've been fighting off crappy adaptations of this for years.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I believe it. I believe this is his baby.
Meanwhile, what's-his-face, who's the other British author that has had a lot of shit adapted that is famously, like, against all of it?
Oh, that's Alan Moore.
Oh, Alan Moore. Yeah, Alan Moore. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah, Alan Moore hates it. Like, yeah. Well, I don't know if Gaiman is happy. I think he, you know, I think this is an adaptation that he likes, and yeah. I think he probably got paid a lot of money.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Where Moore is, yeah, Because Will Moore's had a lot of bad ones. I don't know that Neil's had a lot of...
Extraordinary Gentleman was pretty terrible.
Well, that was Moore.
Yeah, I know.
Well, to be fair...
Great comic, terrible movie.
He was a great comic, and it was... I don't remember if I saw the whole movie. Mm. But, to be fair, that was taking other people's stuff.
True.
That whole concept was, let's take other people's crap.
True.
That's a public domain, and make a story out of it. So he did that also, kind of pornographic, with Lost Girls. Which was the girl's version, but no, softcore.
Yeah.
Well, he's a weird...
I know, Alan
Moore's... Snake worshipping...
I know, Alan Moore's an oddball.
Weirdo.
He's an oddie. That's all right.
But he's a good writer.
Yeah. Yeah, no, he is. He is.
But just like... Of all the hills to die on, man.
I know.
All the stupid hills to die on. You're getting mad about Sandman. Like, just wait till they start casting the X-Men films in the MCU and then get your panties in a wad.
Well, remember how mad people were when they switched Domino's race?
Yeah.
Well, and then she turned out to be one of the best parts of that movie?
She was the best part of that movie.
No.
I don't know if I said this on there, but I told you a story. They were replacing my water heater. And, or maybe it was the vent cleaning guys. And they were down in the basement, and, you know, the basement with all the toys.
Yeah.
He saw Domino, he's like, that's what Domino really looks like. And, like, I was like, it's just amusing to me that a random vent cleaning guy has strong opinions about X-Force characters.
About that character.
But, yeah, she was great.
Yeah.
Like, she's one of the, like, I actually have her action figure and not Deadpool.
Oh, wow.
Like, movie Deadpool.
Right.
So.
Interesting. Usually you get all the movie stuff.
I am so sick of Ryan Reynolds as Deadpool.
I know.
Which is basically Ryan Reynolds as Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah, I know. You and I have differing opinions of Reynolds.
We could be different. We have different tastes.
Oh, I know. I enjoy Reynolds.
When Molly listens to this podcast, I'm going to get an angry text. Because that's her boo. You're totally not imaginary boyfriend.
I don't know. I know a lot of people find him grating, but...
He's so annoying and smug. You know,
Here's the thing, though.
He breaks the fourth wall.
Well, and as a person, he can make fun of himself, and
that's a good. That's,
and that's what emboldens people to me is that if you can make fun of yourself, I'm all like, I'm on board with you 100%.
You know what?
That's why I loved Letterman so much because Letterman.
Letterman's. That's half the. You want the joke to bomb because it's funnier when it does.
Carson was the same way.
Carson was the same way.
But that's why if they can make fun of themselves.
Yeah, I think that says something fundamental about who they are as a person.
That's why with politicians, that's why with, like, remember when Sean Spicer was big during the first part of Trump's president?
No.
And,
I don't even remember who that is.
He was the very first press secretary.
Oh, okay, that guy.
And he used to, like, stand at the podium and just, like, angrily, like, well, when SNL decided to do him, they had, what's her face from Ghostbusters do him?
Melissa McCarthy?
Yes, Melissa McCarthy did him, and it was hysterical. And at some awards show, after he left the cabinet, because the SNL skits, Melissa McCarthy would, like, wheel this podium around, like, just wheel it from, like, corner to corner, and it was, the way they did it was very funny and made sense. Well, Spicer...
It made sense.
No, Spicer made fun of himself by coming out at an awards show doing that same bit, and I was like, all right, well... I guess I have to like Sean Spicer now because he just made fun of himself. And I'm like, well, that's brilliant. If you can go, you know what? I'm an idiot, and here's why. You're on my list of great
people. I mean, that was to bring up a sad kind of footnote to it, but like one of the things I love about the Naked Gun movies was how O.J. Simpson made fun of the fact that he had been notorious for being so graceful and quick and like, you know, Norbert like was constantly stepping on bear traps and stuff. You know,
I forgot about all that.
Yeah.
Like, by the end of the second movie, he's, like, in a full body cast.
I think by the end of the first movie, he's in a full body cast.
Jesus.
But, like...
Oh, yeah, because it was the first movie. They thought he was dead.
He thought he was dead. Yeah. Yeah, I like when someone can poke fun at themselves in their public image, because I think that says something fundamental about them as a person.
I agree. Gosh damn it.
That's why we get along, because we know we suck.
Oh, God, no. Yes. I know you're on board for it, too, but I'm the first that... Somebody, like, we do a video and one of them make fun of me in it. I'm like, oh, yeah, let's do this.
Yeah.
I'm on board.
Oh, yeah.
You're the same way. You're like, yep, let's do it.
Yeah, I know. That was, like, we've got, like, my favorite is when we get angry YouTube comments. Why are you picking on Dave? It's like, that was Dave's idea.
It was Dave's idea. Or people would be like, why does Duvall always get picked on? But because it's funny and I'm on board for it. Playmobil revealed their first look at their A-Team set.
I'm not even that big an A-Team fan.
So we get the A-Team van and the entire team.
Neat.
Dave was super excited.
I was like, ooh, because all I saw was the A-Team. I'm like, oh, they're going to do the van.
Yep. They're doing the whole team.
A-Team
Hannibal.
A-Team van.
B.A. Baraka.
They ride around in the A-Team van.
They named Face Man. It's just Face.
No, it's Faceman.
Is it Faceman?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I just thought it was always Face. And then Murdoch, and Murdoch's got the sock puppet.
Oh.
God damn it.
Wasn't Faceman's real name Templeton Peck?
I think so, yes. But yeah, so we're getting the van and the entire crew, and they're wonderful looking.
The B was Bosco. I remember that. I can't remember what the A was. Maybe Alan?
Could be.
Came up at a trivia night once.
Really?
Yes. Because it's trivia.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, it was pretty
good. And then they accepted that attitude.
Yeah.
They got hectored into that one.
Yeah. Apparently, Tuesday mornings around the country.
Do we still have that?
Yeah. Forever Clever is the company, and there are G.I. Joe building sets that are being released by this company. And they are, I mean, they're literally Lego-style sets based on the vintage toys.
Yeah.
Cobra Ferret. There's some, like, the Ninja Speed Cycle is something new, but the Cobra Fang, the Sky Striker. Somebody said that there was, like, a whole bunch of them. Like, there's a whole...
Oh, it looks like a Rattler.
Yeah, so there's a Snow Cat. There's a...
Awe Striker. Oh no, wait, that's a vamp. I don't know what the hell that is.
Yeah, that's one of the Jeep. Yeah, there's a Hiss. The Rattler.
Wait, that might be
the Night Boomer,
wow,
I think.
God damn.
Yeah.
Kind of looks like the Desert Fox, or maybe the Mean Dog. We're looking at pictures of the box, and the things are very small.
But they're
and it's a Lego vehicle.
Yeah.
It could be anything. It could be a Dewback.
Yeah.
Oh, I know. Wow, those boxes are big.
Yeah, they're big
boxes. Oh, no, he's holding...
Well, he's... I mean, they're big boxes.
Mm.
I mean, the Sky Striker...
he could be a tiny, tiny man.
Sky Striker, I think, is 100 pieces.
That's not a lot of pieces
for
a Lego set.
No, but, I mean, they're like $4 for the little one and $7 for the big one. So, Tuesday mornings is where those are being found.
Mm.
So if you have a Tuesday morning near you, you might want to go look.
Then you just confirmed we do.
We do still have a Tuesday morning, yep.
Surprised, but okay.
Some stuff was revealed for the Power Ranger. What was today? Was it the live stream? Yeah, the FanFest live stream, whatever. They're doing GameStop capsules of the Pink Rangers from Mighty Morphin Power Rangers and Zeo.
I don't know what that means.
What's they're a doing GameStop a capsule? They're doing a Lightning Collection cell shaded Pink Ranger from Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. They're doing a Lightning Collection Pink Ranger 2-pack of Cat. With unmasked and helmeted head sculpts.
Does she come with herself as a cat?
Yes, she does.
Nice, Hasbro.
She gets, she'll be Zeo Pink and Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. And then a Lightning Collection Pink Ranger helmet. It pretty much with everything was Pink Ranger as well as a Pink Ranger morpher. So they everything today was pretty much Pink Ranger stuff.
Okay. You're not wrong with that. She was a key part of the team.
Yeah, yep, there's... So she
yeah, got, like, okay. Sometimes Hasbro, like, I have to give you props.
Yeah, yep. Because the 2-pack does indeed have Cat as a cat. For those of you who are uninitiated and don't know, the character Cat from Mighty Morphin Power Rangers actually started out as a real cat.
And she got turned into a person.
She got turned into a person by...
I think Rita.
Rita or somebody, yeah.
No, I think it was still Rita's era.
Was it?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a dress-up helmet coming out and the Morpher, which was kind of neat looking. So that was kind of neat. I was like, all right, well, apparently it's all Pink Ranger.
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of cool. I'm like, good for them. Yeah, but the 2-pack with Cat made me go, well, that's fun. Boss Fight Studio revealed their next figure in the Popeye line, this time Bluto.
Well, yeah, there's a shock.
I know. Yeah. They look really nice.
They do. I was actually on Geek. I was recording Geekcast episode 1 billion or whatever,
yeah.
Which is going to come out sometime this year. Like, one of the things I kind of mentioned was I'm kind of sad by Boss Fights. Boss Fight's success is almost kind of sad to me because now they have all these licensed properties and they're not really like...
And their other stuff has gone
by
the wayside.
It feels like they're not really doing the Retrieving Hack stuff anymore.
Yeah.
Although, okay, look. Castor Oil with the Whiffle Hen and the Jeep.
Yep.
Like, but that's why I'm sad they're not doing a license I'm interested in.
I know.
Because that's amazing.
Olive oil and sweet pea.
Yeah, I figured it'd be sweet. Come on, the Whiffle Hen.
I know.
And Caster. Yeah. Like, nobody remembers Caster.
Nobody remembers Caster, unless you are a fan of the film.
Even then, he's a real minor character.
Was Olive's brother. Yeah,
he was the main character of that comic strip back in the day. He was indeed. A random fucking sailor.
Yep, who took off, and they were like, "Well, now the series is around Popeye."
But just like they have the King Feature stuff and the Umbrella Academy, and I'm just like, I want a Hobgoblin
and the zombie stuff.
The zombie stuff that they've gotten back from Locker Toys.
Yeah, because
they actually. Did those sculpt
blocks. Yeah.
But like, I'm just like I want that space lane they promised a billion years ago.
I know.
And the next one was like supposed to be like pirates versus sea monsters.
Yeah, mermaids and all
that.
I
was like, come on, that's so cool.
I know. Marvel Legends, after we stopped recording last week, I don't know if we talked about this. I don't think
No,
I sent you a text.
You sent me a text.
But they're offering a Marvel Legends Wolverine versus Villains 5-pack.
Okay.
That's
Callisto.
Yeah, Callisto. Omega Red, another Omega Red, Cyber, Jason Wynn, which I thought
is Wynn or Wynn Guard?
No, I think it's
Wynn Guard. It's Mind Master, right? It's the guy that turns Jean Grey into Dark Phoenix, effectively.
Right.
Like he controls her mind. For
could be they don't actually list the names there for some reason.
Wynn Guard.
Jason Wynn Guard, yeah.
Suck it.
But he's got the classic head sculpt, too.
Well, that's he made himself look handsome.
Yes.
Because he has mind control powers.
Yeah, and then a shirtless Wolverine.
And then he pisses Jean off. Or I think when she kills Cyclops in the dream thing, she snaps out of it, and she fucks his mind bad.
Yeah.
That's when she goes Dark Phoenix.
Will you buy this box set just to get him so you can
finish
off?
No, I don't care about him.
No?
No. The only character I would buy it for would probably be Callisto.
Hmm.
And I'm kind of annoyed that she's like a villain? She's the leader of the Morlocks.
Well, let's be honest. The Morlocks were kind of villainy.
No! The Morlocks were like, they were the sad ones. They were like the weird, freaky ones that couldn't fit in with society.
I don't know. So they were banished to the sewers. I remember Mask kidnapping Kitty Pryde and like changing her face and all kinds of weird, like, they were kind of evilish for a little bit.
Then they got murdered by Mr. Sinister's Marauders.
Yeah, they did get murdered by the Marauders. This is true. McFarlane announced some new licenses in this form, being the Avatar The Last Airbender and Batman 66.
Is that a separate thing from DC? I guess.
Yeah,
It might be.
It might be.
The rights for that have always been ridiculously screwed up.
Yes. But so at least the Batman 66, we've got Robin, Batman, and Joker.
They announced also
Batmobile.
They also announced Riddler, and I think.
Oh, okay. And then the Avatar, we've got Aang and Appa.
Appa. Yeah. Aang, Appa, Katara, Zuko.
The leader of the Fire Nation.
No, he's not the leader of the
Fire
Nation.
Oh, he's
not? No. He's the banished prince.
Oh, okay.
Ozai's son who failed in his Agni Kai, which is why his face is all burned.
Oh, okay.
And he's trying to regain his honor by capturing the Avatar.
Oh, gotcha.
Dude, it's such a great series. And why can't I remember Sokka's name? But the point being, like... You'd be switching way fast. First of all, the Appa looks good, like as opposed to the Abomination they released for the movie.
Yes, yeah,
which is nightmare fuel.
Yes,
they did very few Appa toys back in the day. They did like a big.
They did a plush, I thought.
No, they never did a plush.
Really,
the only plush you could get, and I know this because I used to be on this Avatar related board.
Right.
Because remember the girl who spoke Greek?
Yes.
Yeah, her husband was like a huge Avatar fan.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, the only plush you could get was at Six Flags.
Oh.
And, there were people literally, like, they would go, like, it was like a thing, they'd hook you up. You know, they'd go to Six Flags and be on the board, like, hey, I'm going to Six Flags,
right.
An Appa. No, plush Appas are, like, I got one from some skeezy Chinese company, like, a couple months ago, which doesn't look anything like the picture. I gotta show, I'm not even gonna spoil it, probably, but I got one for you down
Jesus.
In the basement.
Oh,
you're
no.
gonna love it. And,
oh, no.
And then you'll wake up screaming in the middle of the night. Anyway, point being,
okay.
I'm glad that they did Katara, because they never did Katara. The thing about Avatar is it was a show that was clearly intended to be for, like, 10-year-old boys.
Yes.
The fan base were 13-year-old girls.
Yes.
Like, I went to the 2009 New York Comic Con and San Diego Comic Con panels.
Yep.
Filled with 13-year-old girls.
Yeah.
And they were huge fans, and it was like a huge following. But like,
yeah, and it was
they were never.
It was great for that show because they were able to finish it.
Kind, yeah, yeah. But they also could never quite market it. That's why it was in trouble because right. It was like the toy manufacturers always leaned towards the boy stuff.
Right.
Which is why you never got Katara in the original toy line. You know, there were a couple of Lego sets that are now
ridiculously
expensive.
Yeah.
But I'm glad they're doing Katara. I hope they do Toph. I really hope they do Iroh because he was the best character on the show, best right. character in fiction. They'll probably do Ozai because he was Zuko's dad.
Yeah,
Azula. They got to do Azula. She's Zuko's sister who becomes like the main. See, Zuko's whole thing is he starts out as the antagonist,
and then he becomes a hero.
He becomes a hero by the end.
Yeah,
like the second season is kind of his redemption arc, and yet, like I don't want to spoil it, but like stuff happens that you don't expect to happen. You expect him to like. Reform and become a good guy.
Right.
It doesn't quite play out that way, but then he comes around. Just it's such a good show.
I gotcha.
And then the other one is just I don't like it. The sequel. Well, I guess there was one guy that was like really essential to the first series, and the actual creators didn't like him.
Oh, really?
So yeah, he wasn't around for the Legends of Korra.
Ah.
Which you notice. Although they did have J.K. Simmons.
So. Oh, yeah.
So that's always a plus.
I was telling you earlier, I was rewatching Zootopia last night and forgot that J.K. Simmons was the voice of the mayor, God the lion way. Mayor. Yeah.
What is he not in?
I know. I was like, holy shit, J.K. Simmons is in this. I was like, I apparently have not seen this in a long time. I'm like, crap. I wanted to watch something in 3D and I was like, I'll watch Zootopia.
At no point did I judge your
Oh, I know, but then I was like, oh, J.K. Simmons is in this. I'll be damned.
Disney movie nobody remembers.
Oh.
Except the Rule 34 crowd. They can't get enough of it.
I know. If you don't know what Rule 34 is, we're not explaining it to you. Don't. No.
Absolutely don't Google it.
Yeah, don't Google it. Hasbro revealed Ghostbusters stuff for Ghostbusters Day, including their
why
set
is it Ghostbusters
of,
Day?
There was a Ghostbusters Day last week.
No, why was it? I mean,
when
like
it's
April 20th is Alien Day because it's LV-426.
Yeah, nobody's quite sure. There's been a Ghostbusters Day for a while. I think it was just something Sony made up. And
well, you know, what would be a good way to capitalize on that is releasing a movie.
Yeah, I know, right?
You got a movie sitting around Sony? Oh, you do.
That's not out till September at this point, or November or something like that.
Ah!
Yeah, it's just like, come on, man. The Plasmas, they announced the Plasma Series Mini Puffs 3-pack, which have alternate heads. So you can army build Mini Puffs, basically. Which is kind of neat.
I don't know what context they are in a movie, so...
I don't either, but that trailer they showed was pretty damn cute.
I've talked about my issues with that.
I know.
Because again, like that, the Stay Puff was important to Rey, not to...
They're 3 1/4 inch tall.
That doesn't
they're
count.
They're your scale, Dave.
They're not my scale.
Your scale.
They're not, just because it's the size. The size and scale are different things, and you know that.
And they also showed off a new collection of, well, they're not new. They're repainted Ghostbusters Plasma Series figures.
Oh, yeah.
Now they glow in the dark. They all have proton neutrona-1 beams, and they all glow. They have glow in the dark slime.
Mm.
So, and they're.
That's probably like, oh my god, we got to get something on the shelves because we blew our wad last year.
Yeah.
When nobody bought toys.
Yeah.
And there was no movie.
Well, apparently, won't let me open those pictures.
That's sort of what happened with G.I. Joe without the epidemic.
Yeah.
They pushed it back a year. What the hell?
I know, right? Apparently, there was a Star Wars live stream that I missed.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
And they announced a bunch of product for that,
okay.
Including the more of the Bounty Collection. So you get the child in his little hover chair with a bunch of stuff, which the Bounty Collection's the little
single pack Yoda or baby Yoders that
yeah.
Grogu's that recreate cute moments from the show.
Yeah,
which we'll never get anymore because he's gone.
Yeah, they showed off new Black Series figures.
These are like
the 50th anniversary Lucasfilm.
No, but they're also this series takes figures
archive?
That have been
archive.
Yeah, they take figures that have been out and are hard to find and put them back in circulation.
So Princess Leia.
Episode 3 Obi-Wan.
Yeah, episode 3 Obi-Wan.
Where he looks a little more like Al Guinness.
Darth Revan.
Okay. Jesus, that one's a butthole.
Yeah, 501st Legion Clone Trooper.
Okay.
And then we get the Black Series 6-inch stuff. So we get Erso.
Oh, okay.
We get Galen Erso.
I thought that was the doctor from...
I know, right? From Rogue One.
No, from Mandalorian.
Oh. We get Merrick from Rogue One.
Oh, yeah, I think he's coming out in 4-inch scale, but you got to buy an X-Wing.
Yeah. That sucks. We get Bodhi Rook from Rogue One.
Oh, they're going Rogue One heavy on this one.
Yeah, they are.
It's a good movie.
And of course, Jyn Erso.
Yeah, I have that one. I think I have that one. I know that's Cassian.
Yeah.
Just in time for his TV show, KSO.
K2SO.
K2SO.
And then Chirrut. Chirrut Imwe.
Best character from the movie.
Yeah, which they've already done one of him, haven't they?
I think these are bringing him back. I think they've done most of the characters from Rogue One. Like, all the new movies got, like, a full...
And then slate. Malbus.
Yeah, yeah, Malbus. I think he was a later one.
Yeah. And then the 3¾-inch Vintage Collection. Vintage Collection. The Mithril.
He didn't even have a Black Series figure yet. Yay, suck it.
From, is it the character from the second season of...
He was in the very first episode. He's the guy that
That freezes. Yeah.
Carbon freezes.
Yeah, that's right. Kate
Starbuck. Cleese.
Yep. Bo-Katan. Cool or Cruel?
Quill.
Jesus Christ. I can't read today.
Well, it's spelled weird.
I know. Dear Lord.
Random rebel soldier that looks exactly like Luke.
Yeah. He does. And then we get some lightsaber squad. What the hell? Mm-hmm. They're like lightsabers in the shape of Mandalorian characters. Mm-hmm. Of the child and Mando. And that's super weird. Star Wars Fleet. Mission Fleet. Mandalorian Battle in the Badlands. So we get... Are you gonna buy that?
I've already they did Quill on a blurb.
Oh, did they? Okay.
Completely the same gun. It's literally just the same toys reissued.
Bando on a blurb, and then there's the little hover pram pack, which is kind of cute, kind of adorable. Clone Commander Clash 4-pack of the Bad Batch.
Hmm. Well, I keep going back and forth whether I'm gonna watch that.
A Mission Razor Fleet Crest. Razor Crest.
Yeah. It got blown up. Why would I buy that?
I don't know.
Staff.
Yep, staff. Some fleet gear stuff, so we get a bunch of different vehicles.
Ooh, the Mandalorian ship.
Yeah, the Mandalorian ship. So, some fun stuff from the Star Wars stream this week. They just keep announcing stuff.
Every now and then I randomly check Big Bad Toy Store, and they have the vintage figures up, but I lost my mind. Yeah. I'm like, well, finally!
There's a company called Scorched Earth Initiative.
Cool story, bro.
Well, they're doing 3¾-inch figures. They're classic O-ring style figures. There will be a Kickstarter soon. It's called Strike Force Alpha.
You monster.
I know, but so we get a number of characters such as Alpha Trooper.
Good old Alpha Trooper.
We get Infiltrator.
Okay.
He's got a
little,
they've got alternate hands.
They got
and
that
heads.
Mattelman. Oh,
they got Mattelman kind of. Yeah, it's an alternate head, but yeah. The Master,
kind of like him.
Oops, ooh. Wraith. Sorry, I flipped too fast.
That's a different guy.
Alternate head on.
Where the hell do I get these things?
Well, that's a good question. Shadow Blade, Helgard.
Oh, he's cool.
Yeah, he's kind of neat. Dr. Diablo.
Well, they're going a little heavy on the villains.
Yeah, Nomad.
All right. That's why they go heavy
Valkyrie,
on the villains.
Valkyrie.
Because the regular guys
Legionnaire. Wolf. Construct.
It's kind of cool.
Yeah, it's kind of neat. He uses like the Goro body Goro design. Body. Cairn. Skull Guard.
Jeez.
Yeah, these, they're kind of neat. They're, there's a group called Scorched Earth Initiative on Facebook. There'll be a Kickstarter. It'll be a Kickstarter soon.
Oh.
But if you want to learn more, you can go to Facebook and just Google Scorched Earth Initiative, and you can join their group, and they'll let you know when the Kickstarter is going to be out there. But
mixed feelings.
They are 3¾-inch.
Yeah, and they're O-ring, which is a big thing among Joe fans.
They are O-ring, which means they will sell.
I think they probably will hit their thing.
They're nice design. I mean, I pretty much like all the characters they showed. I think they're...
I like a lot of them.
Yeah. I think it's a very interesting take on the idea of...
I always, that was my thing with... I always wanted the world of G.I. Joe to be bigger.
Yeah.
Because it was just Joe and Cobra.
Yep.
And I like the idea that there are other guys out there. There are other bad guys. There's other groups.
Yeah, there's other groups. But yeah, you can Scorched Earth Initiative. We'll see if Scorched Earth Initiative. they are a private group, so you can join them.
Your membership is pending.
My membership is pending.
You're a pender.
I know, right? But it should be interesting to see what their Kickstarter is like when it goes live.
I assume they'll be offering those figures.
Yeah, hopefully.
I mean, if they're not, then fuck it, I'll just walk away. Happily.
Happily, Dave said.
Anything I don't have to buy is a good thing.
True. Our buddy Blake writes, Kickstarter for the reprint of Volume 1 for Toys That Time Forgot has cleared its goal.
Oh, good.
With 12 days to go, so they will be getting reprints of this book.
Nice.
Yep. So it is just basically a reprint of Volume 1 for anyone that missed Volume 1.
He didn't do any dick moves by adding, like,
extra chapters? No extra chapters or anything.
Good for him.
Just a straight reprint of the original
book. Good to show faith in your product and not try to, like,
I know.
Screw over your...
Which means, well, and we should be getting Volume 3 by the end of the summer, I think. Ooh. I think it's supposed to ship by the end of summer.
Yeah, my stream of Kickstarter fulfillments has dried up.
Yeah, I know. Dave's,
I've gone, like, 2 or 3 weeks without a Kickstarter fulfillment.
I know. Well, Frosthaven never ships.
Frosthaven isn't even written yet.
That's what's sad. We won't talk about that on the show, but I talked about that with the gaming at the gaming store when I left your house last week. I stopped into Titan Games
to see what's
going on. Well, I always try to stop in there.
I know you do.
Just to see what's going on, and we were talking about that, and I was just boggled. I was like, "What? Why?" I was like, "Why? Why?" I was like, "Just the game was already basically done when they kickstarted it, and now they're just like holding it up because they can't finish writing it. You should have had it all done."
You think?
I know. And then Super 7 launched their pre-orders. You can also get them on BigBadToyStore.com.
You can.
Of the Silverhawks Ultimates Wave 1, including Steelheart, Quicksilver, Buzzsaw, and Monstar. And they are based on their looks from the original animated series. I know a lot of the complaints I've seen is people are like, they're not, you know, they're not metallic. They're not chroned. You would not want modern day figures chroned, people. Stop fucking wishing for it, because it would be a terrible idea.
With that amount of joints, it would be a bad idea. And yes. Also, like, I don't think people realize, even in China, it's illegal because the process is so horrible for the environment. Yeah. And I'm pretty sure they don't even do it in China.
They do it in Japan.
Do they?
Yeah.
They still chrome stuff?
Yeah, a lot of the stuff's still chrome. A lot of the robots and stuff they're releasing over there are still chrome.
Well, they got that big area where the nuclear power plant melted.
Oh, yeah,
they probably just build a factory over there.
Just do it over there.
Just dump it over there.
But yeah, people are so mad that these aren't chromed, and they don't realize you can't chrome modern day figures with this much articulation.
With that many joints, it's all gonna flake off.
Yes. And because they use softer plastic on these figures,
okay,
you have to have more rigid plastic in order for the chrome to adhere to.
I believe you.
Yeah. People were mad that Buzzsaw doesn't look like his toy counterpart. Why is he yellow and not green? Well, because the toys were green and the cartoon character was yellow. Like, I can't explain this enough, people. These are literally based on how they looked in the cartoons to a degree.
But it doesn't look exactly like the toy I already have. Why would I want to spend money on a different product?
See, people don't...
Why would I want to spend money on something that's completely... Like, okay, I gotta check myself on that one to a degree. I do love it when they do retro stuff in a retro package and it looks, yes, like a retro figure. But that's a specific thing. This is a new toy line. Yeah. That I also do like it when they do new stuff, too.
I saw somebody yesterday was like, well, I'll just wait until somebody else does them and does them right. I'm like,
oh, good
dude,
luck.
You're going to be holding your fucking breath for a long time.
How long have you waited for Super 7 to bite at this thing?
35 years?
Yeah.
Something like that?
All right, you go ahead.
Yeah, you keep waiting, motherfuckers.
You keep waiting.
Just chill, because yeah, somebody's going to come along and swipe this license
any
up.
Any minute.
Fuck me, man. So these designs are based on... I was telling Dave this.
Okay, are they based on the cartoon?
I won't get on the story. Well, they're based more on
the turnarounds
for the cartoon. The actual production design they did for the series. Because Buzzsaw is less blocky looking in the actual cartoon than he is on the turnaround. The turnaround, he was a little bit more blockier. His chest was.
Mm.
So the figure here is a little bit blockier. So people were like, well, he doesn't look like he looks like the cartoon. That's not how he looks. Well, but he looks like that in the turnaround. Like, I tried pulling up the turnaround for somebody and showing them. Look, that's why they did it the way they did it. He looks like it there. And they were like, yeah, but he doesn't look like the picture above in the cartoon. I'm like, oh my God, you dumb bastard. I'm trying to explain to you why they did what they did. At least to my knowledge of why they did what they did. We won't know. My guess is They couldn't do figures based on the toys because Hasbro owns those designs because they own Kenner. So they would technically still own the look of those toys, which means you couldn't just redo those toys without Hasbro's blessing. And Hasbro sure as shit ain't going to give you their blessing to do that.
Well, I'm sure Hasbro will make those toys any minute now. I mean, it's been 30 years.
I know, right? So they probably, with licensing, they were probably told, you can you can only do them based off the cartoon.
They probably did what they did with the, was it William Stout? He-Man's?
Yes.
Where they found a little sneaky loophole and could do it off the turnaround.
Yes. So,
I just, like...
So, Steelheart, you get two alternate heads. You get her bird Razor in both flight and resting mode. With resting modes, basically, so you can sit them on her arm.
Yeah.
You get a pair of wings.
I'm familiar with resting mode.
Yes. You get a pair of wings so the arms can come off and you can put the wings extended out.
Yeah.
You get six alternate hands and four blast effects.
I don't know that you need six alternate
hands. No, I know, right? Quicksilver, you get an alternate head, two different versions of Tallyhawks, the pair of wings, six hands, four laser effects pieces, and a Tallyhawk wrist remote control. Because you could control Tallyhawks in the cartoon. Which, if you look at my model, which nobody could see but us, he's got it on his. On
I thought hand. That was Lino.
No, that's not. Yes, David, that's.
It's Lino. Not painted.
I know it's not. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry that I didn't immediately recognize the gray
and I
muscular
you're,
figure.
You're mostly blind at your age, anyway.
Yeah, kind of. It is pretty blurry.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna.
David's
not gonna
lie. Nearsighted.
I'm farsighted. I'm the one where I can see good up close and badly far away.
Nearsighted.
I think it's nearsighted.
That's nearsighted. Yeah. Because I remember years ago, just a short story. Dave and I were driving. And I was like, there's our turn. And Dave's like, how can you see that sign? It's like a mile up the road. And I was like, well, I can read it for you. It's right here. And Dave's like, all I see is a shape. And I barely see that. And I'm like, okay.
One time I was driving with Brad. He's like, can you read that sign? I'm like, what? I'm not even joking. What sign? I got glasses.
Dave's got glasses. He
I
wears
glasses
them.
Now. I do, actually. That was why the last year of my life was awful. Because I couldn't wear my damn glasses.
Buzzsaw comes with two alternate heads, Shredder, which is his bird, a weapon, an alternate arm, two claw accessories, and two figure accessories.
Buzzsaw has a bird, too?
Yes, I'll show you. And then Monstar comes with an alternate head, Sky Shadow, his bird, two rocket blast effects, the Fire Iron, which is his big sword, and eight alternate hands. Now, the weird thing is here, so the figures are priced $55 a piece for Quicksilver, Steelheart.
You know, it's all those goddamn hands.
For Quicksilver, Steelheart, and Buzzsaw, Monstar is $85. But he's also damn near 12 inches tall. I think his total is like 11 and a half inches tall.
They should.
So he towers over everyone else, as he should.
They should be less than $10 because I don't want to spend a lot of money on this.
Right. Well, that's why I won't buy him because it's like $250 for the set. And I'm like, that's a lot of cash. And I think they're amazing. I think they're amazing figures.
I have Leonardo from the Turtles line, and it's really nice.
Yeah, I'm like, they're beautiful, but... That's a lot of money, and I'm not going to spend that kind of money.
I mean, it's one of those things, like, well, for me, the most fascinating thing about this whole thing is that there are people that really care this passionately about Silverhawks.
I know.
I'm a little shocked, but, like, never have I been so glad to not give two shits about a toy line.
What's interesting is the Monstar figure, you've got some of the vintage toys, but I don't think...
No, I don't.
I thought you had a Quicksilver.
No.
No. So the vintage Monstar... toy. His elbows are kind of bent. I might have to show you later, but he had little elbow like guns.
Okay.
And this, the little rockets can attach to his elbows so he can like fire the rockets from his elbows. It was a really dumb gimmick for the character, but so Monstar's got a little bird.
Yeah, okay. I didn't think you were lying. I just...
Yeah, Buzzoff's got...
Didn't realize random bad guys... I didn't realize the bad guys had birds.
Yeah.
Again... Don't care about this line.
I know.
I mean, it's it's interesting as a toy guy that that someone has gotten this license to whatever extent they have,
yes,
and done new toys. But like, having them back metalized is not realistic. Like because it's a Super 7 thing. It's very expensive. Probably could have cut a few of the bells and whistles.
Well, I think that's part of the reason why they're so expensive. I know somebody's argument was, well, Valorverse can release a whole bunch of figures, and they're less than like $30 a figure.
Which one is Valorverse?
Valorverse is the 6-inch Joe kind of line.
So it's not licensed.
No, it's not. Although they've got the license to Sergeant Slaughter. He's a character in it.
Well, okay.
And they're, but they're, I'm like, if you look at his designs, for the most part, he uses the same buck on all the figures. Like,
yeah.
he saves cost production by sculpting off the same buck. So
well, when we were looking at the, I've even forgotten the name in the last
five. Oh, the O-ring figures.
The O-ring figures.
From Scorched Earth.
Scorched Earth. Like, it was like, this mold. Next mold.
With removable heads and hands.
With different... Yeah.
Yeah, that's why some of this stuff...
That's what most Kickstarters do.
Yeah, that's why some of this stuff can be cheap. These are
100% All of them are unique and different from each other.
They're all unique sculpts. They all come with a bunch of bells and whistles. You know,
I mean, I still think that the price is ridiculously high, but it's...
Well, how much were the Turtle Ultimates? $55?
They were about the same price.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why I have one.
Yeah, I know. But again, like you said, they're nice.
They're very nice.
Like, they're worth the money. Would you say?
No.
Really?
I mean, no.
I don't have any of this stuff. Like, so I don't have any of the Super 7 stuff, so...
I mean, you know, I'm stupid about certain things. I think every now and then I have money, so I buy things I shouldn't, but...
What?
Yeah, I know. Did I even tell you about that? Probably not. We'll save that for you.
Oh, okay.
I think that was a little high for what it is, but I understand that it's, you know, again, especially with Turtles, they got that license out from under Playmate somehow. It's a little too high, but everything's too high now. Yeah. I mean, that's my thing, is everything is too high.
Yeah, because didn't Marvel Legends go up to like $22 a pop or something like that?
If that. I mean, it's like it's pushing $20 for a 4-inch figure these days.
Yeah, so, I don't know what people want. Like, plastic ain't getting cheaper, people, and these figures cost more to make now than they ever did because of articulation and the sculpts and everything.
Yeah.
So it's not going to get cheaper, people. It's not.
Yeah, people don't want to accept that.
No, they do not.
People want the exact same toy they had as a child.
Same but different.
Same but different.
God damn it.
Same but different.
Same but different.
And if they get that, they'll be like, "Well, this is just the same thing I already have.
This is just the same thing I saw. What the
hell? Why would I spend $10 on a toy I already have?"
I know. What was your story you were just about to tell me?
Oh, I was going to say that for a surprise.
Oh, okay.
I will tell you.
Oh, okay.
So, Metalman 2050.
Oh, Jesus Christ. What did you do?
Has a playset.
Oh, fuck me. What did you do?
What do you think I did?
Oh, Jesus Christ. How much?
A lot.
500?
A lot.
Oh, my God.
Not quite flag price.
Oh, Jesus, David.
Not quite flag.
Oh, God, no.
It's a playset for a G.I. Joe thing that only existed in Spain and Greece.
But where did you put it?
I don't have it yet.
Oh, okay.
There was actually an auction from someplace in America. In
really?
Pennsylvania. That's what made me bite. Because I was like, I don't have to ship it from Greece.
Yeah, Jesus. So, was it complete?
Yes. Well, they think it's complete. I mean, you know, it's Battleman, so who the hell knows?
Oh, my God.
So I'm very excited about that.
Yeah. And very broke.
It's going to be a rough...
It's going to be a rough one.
It's going to be bad. There's been a lot of stuff. Like, I think I destroyed my vacuum picking up. I instead of just picking up the stuffing, I tried to vacuum it up.
Oh, yeah, that's probably a bad idea.
No, I think I burned out the motor.
Oh. Well, vacuums aren't that expensive.
You know, the new roof thing keeps hovering over my head. My dog is going to have to go to the vets, which is a fun thing because now the everything's kind of opening up again.
Yeah.
You can't get a vet appointment.
Ah, yeah.
Like I don't know how you're going to, like, make it to the next couple of months because, like...
Oh, I got a vet appointment for Bear. I got one on Monday afternoon.
Really?
Yeah. I called him on Tuesday this week and was like, hey, I didn't get him in. And they're like, okay. Like they
I called my vet Wednesday... And they're like, we can't get you in until the end of the month. And we're literally getting calls from other vets asking if we have any openings.
Wow. Huh. Interesting.
Yeah, well, I guess they know your company. I guess they like you.
They like my money.
They like, oh, yeah. I was going to say.
He needs a rabies shot, a senior wellness exam. He's got this, like, I don't know, lump on his back that needs looked at. That's probably nothing. Because
just a fat thing, probably.
It's probably like a fatty thing.
Casey had one of those.
God, what else he needs? He needs his nail clips, his glands expressed. He's got an ear infection. So he needs drops in his ears because he gets those frequently. So yeah, they like my money, David.
Yeah, I bet
they like my money.
Yeah, I'm one of those things that, like, I like you guys, but I just don't take it wrong if I don't want to see you again for a year. Because she needed her shots.
Yeah.
Anyway, I get screwed up. People don't care about this. But my other dog got her shots in the spring.
Yes.
And my brain is messed up because I keep going, I haven't heard from the vet.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure she needs... Yeah. Hers are in the summer, apparently. Yeah. But yeah, she's... She's got her. She's going down the route of The Last Dog with allergies.
Ah, yes, yes.
She's chewing on herself.
So Dave and I are going to end the show by talking about the first episode of Loki. If you have not watched it yet, you probably want to turn the damn show off because we're going to talk about the first episode of Loki.
Yeah.
So turn off the show now. We'll see you next week. So this past Wednesday, because now Loki is premiering on Wednesdays and not Fridays because they pushed it up 2 days, which I'm fine with. Whatever.
Well, it's an arbitrary.
It's Loki. He's the god of mischief. They can do whatever the hell they want.
Sure, whatever.
I have to say this first episode was really like... was really good.
I liked it.
Like, it was really well done.
I thought it was really interesting.
We won't delve too much into the deep storyline of it, but the fact that it picks up pretty much right where he left us in Endgame.
Yeah.
They filmed some new stuff to kind of help, I don't know, expand on that moment in Endgame, because there are...
Well, it's in Endgame, it's not his moment.
Mm-hmm.
In this one, it is.
Yeah. So they went and filmed some new stuff for it.
Yeah, there was one scene in particular where it was just like a real tight close-up on Loki's face. I'm like, that's new footage.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There was like one where he's in the elevator and he's like looking at Hulk.
Yes. That's the one. Yeah. I'm like, yeah, they just filmed that for this. Yeah.
But it picks up right where he left us in Endgame. He ends up in like the
Mongolia.
Gobi Desert.
Gobi Desert.
Yeah, he ends up in the Gobi Desert and people are like... looking at him, and he stands up and
he gives
the whole,
a speech. I am
Loki, and I am burdened with glorious purpose.
And they're like, dude, what are you saying?
Like,
we speak Mongolian.
And he's like, ugh. And then the TVR, the
TVA,
TVA show. Variants. Yep.
I keep wanting to say Authority.
Well,
I've heard some agency.
Yeah, then these agents show up because he's become an anachronism in
he's
time.
Become a variant.
A variant is what they call it. He's become a variant, and they're coming to reset the timeline and to arrest the variant. Which you learn later, when they do this, they basically just create another version of that person and reset the timeline.
Something like that. Yeah, yeah, I didn't quite pick up on what was going on with that.
I mean, and I then they take they the variant, put him in front of a judge, find him guilty, and then fucking destroy them.
Yeah, that was one of my... I mean, I'm assuming the TVA will turn out to kind of be a bad guy, too, so I'm not too...
concerned?
...plussed about it, but I will say that was really unfair. Like, that was bullshit, and he even calls him out on it. It's like, the Avengers are doing time travel stuff, and they're like,
yeah,
they're supposed to.
Yeah, they're supposed to be.
And I'm like, Loki didn't even know that he was screwing up the timeline.
Yeah.
Like he was just acting in the moment.
Yeah.
Like, how can you be accused of breaking a law when you don't even know the law exists, and you don't even, like, there was no agency on his part. He was just reacting to a momentary thing like he has done his entire life.
So they arrested him. They took the...
Tesseract.
They took the Tesseract with him, too. And, of course, he's in this place trying to figure out how to get out.
This glorious...
He's trying to
late
find the Tesseract.
'60s, oh, early yeah. '70s, horrible, yeah. ugly, but beautiful,
yeah.
beautifully ugly. The design in this show is wonderful. It's all old and ugly, and it's not quite steampunk, but it's got that kind of steampunk,
yeah.
old,
yeah, old like, world
like
kind of
retro, like the stuff that I grew up with.
Yeah, yeah,
and.
It's almost very Mad Men.
Yeah, like but like the tackiest aspects of Mad Men.
Yeah,
and it's the first show. I mean, I kind of enjoyed it with Falcon Winter Soldier a little bit, but like it's the first show that with the end credits when they show all the crap.
Yeah,
I'm in heaven because they got all the propaganda.
Yeah.
And all the ads. And the production design they look for is amazing. I adore it.
Yes.
Except there's a moment where he looks out a window. To, like, the space city.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's, like, something out of, like, fucking Star Trek.
Yeah.
Because it's, like, I'm looking out through the window to an obvious blue screen, and here's an obvious CGI.
Well, because part of that was we meet Morpheus. Morpheus? Yeah.
Yes, Morpheus.
Yeah, Morpheus.
No, Mobius. Mobius.
Played by Owen Wilson.
Yes.
Gloriously played by Owen Wilson.
He's doing a really... Because you just assume... I think everyone kind of went into it assuming he'd be Owen Wilson. And he's not. He's acting. He's doing a really... He's playing a character, very smart, very, very cool character.
Yeah.
And he's playing it really... The acting is just top-notch on this show.
Yeah.
Who's kind of like a... Like, if the other guys are, like, the uniform officers, he's, yeah, like, a detective.
Yeah, he's the detective. But he's on the hunt for a variant that's killing...
That's killing the agents.
Yeah, killing agents as they go to try to reset things. And taking the resetters, like the...
Yes, they have this little...
The charges.
This little kind of, almost like an hourglass kind of thing that they use to reset the timeline.
The variant they're chasing is taking these from the killed officers.
Yes.
And apparently making a collection of them, because the variance has done this a whole bunch, apparently.
Well, a couple times at least.
Yeah. Mobius is, he gets alerted to Loki's presence in the prison, and suddenly he has an epiphany, and he basically convinces the judge not to kill Loki, but instead to hand Loki over to him, and Loki's like, I'm going to get out of here, and like, I'm going to burn this place to the ground, and Mobius is like, cool, you can start with my office.
You start with my desk.
Yeah.
I can't remember what there's a department. He's like, yeah, I don't mind if you burn those guys down.
Yeah, yes.
He's playing it very cool.
Which is knocking Loki completely off his
normal. Oh yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
Loki's like, the hell is happening? Like, when you can completely bewilder the god of mischief, like, it's just great. He threatens this poor office worker,
Casey. Yeah. His name's Casey.
Getting him like a fish. Take me to the Tesseract, or I'll gut you like a fish.
What's a fish?
What's a fish? And Loki's like, you seriously don't know what a fish is?
I've been here my whole life. I swear to God. If Casey doesn't... If I were writing the show, it would end with like a goldfish. Like, Loki would leave a goldfish on his... But if Casey doesn't encounter a fish of some kind...
I'll be very sad.
Then the show is worthless, and I will...
Well, and it's a great moment, too, because we'll get to it in a minute.
Mobius... It changes the stakes.
Yeah, Mobius basically takes him into a room... And he's like, you don't know who I am. And he's like, actually, I do. I know all about you. He's like, I know everything there is to know about you. And he's like, what do you mean? He starts playing this tape, and he's like, what is this? And he's like, this is your life.
Yeah.
Like, this is your life. and he's basically trying to break Loki. He's trying to get Loki to tell him, why do you do what you do? Do you enjoy hurting people?
I mean, kind of. It's who are you?
Yeah.
He's trying to get into Loki's head and get a sense of who Loki is, really.
Yeah.
Do you enjoy hurting people is the key question. But it's
and Loki's got this thing on his neck. All the
prisoners control do, cutter. Yeah, it's a means of control, and you've got a remote that can make that
rewind
zap
time.
You back. Zap you back to where you were a minute ago. Or a second ago.
Yeah, right? And they use that quite a bit in that scene, because Loki keeps trying to get out and attack him.
There's a great moment where he stands up and he gets zapped back, and he's like, I was just standing up for effect.
Yeah, I was just standing up for effect. And Mobius is like, oh, okay, go ahead. But they have this conversation, and...
See, I think the why do you hurt people is important, but the real... To me, the most important question of that whole thing is, let's say you became King of Asgard.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then King of Midgard and King of Nine.
Yeah.
What would you do?
Yeah.
What? Where are you going with this? What would you do? Would you be, you know, are you going to go to space? Space is pretty big.
He's like, space?
See, that's, to me, that's the key, because that ties into the later scene.
But yeah, it's great. So, of course, Loki gets out, and they all hunt for him.
Yeah, well, there's a female officer that's got a particular hate on for him, and he actually slaps the collar onto her, and gets away.
And just rewinds her until she, like, vanishes. And he gets away, and he finds Casey, and he demands the Tesseract. He's like, I don't know what that is. He's like, the blue thing.
The blue cube.
And he's like, oh. And he pulls open this drawer, and Loki reaches in and grabs it, and then he looks down, and he's like, are those Infinity Stones? He's like, what are Infinity Stones? He's like, all of these shiny gems. And he's like, oh, yeah, we get those all the time. He's like, such and such has a bunch of them for paperweights. And Loki's suddenly like, holy shit. None of this matters.
See, that's the thing. That's I think when his whole perspective shifts.
Yeah, because he's literally looking at. He picks up the time stone and holds it and looks at it.
No. He doesn't just hold it. He's got that in his pocket.
Oh, okay.
I don't think he threw. I think he took that because that's the time stone.
Oh, yeah.
but that's the whole thing. Is one thing we skipped, a big part that we skipped, which is a cute sequence where they Mr. DNA it.
No, oh, yeah.
Where it's Miss Minute.
Voiced by Tara Strong.
Miss Minute explains the whole time variance authority. And that was interesting because they say there are no multiverses.
Yes.
Like, there used to be multiverses and they went to war.
And they created the sacred timeline.
Well, the three timekeepers.
Yes.
There were three space aliens. that are super powerful and created the Sacred Timeline, yeah. which is the only timeline,
yeah.
no multiverses. That's very specifically.
Yeah.
And I'm like, there are two goddamn movies coming up that are all about multiverses.
Yeah.
Where are we going with this?
Which means Loki's going to play, this series is going to play I think it might, setting that up.
Maybe. Like, I've been burned before, but yeah. I don't know how you get around that. But yeah, so there's these three beings that are in charge, and Loki asks about them. Well, what are they doing? Where are they? Yeah. Because that's the whole thing, is when he realizes, he sees those Infinity Stones, I think that's when his whole concept of what power is, what he's been after his whole life,
changes.
Suddenly it's like, I've been playing penny ante stakes, and this is the real game.
Yeah.
And that's a big, I think that's a big moment for him.
Well, it was interesting, there was a bigger moment, too, before he escaped. Because Mobius basically showed him his mother's death.
Showed him his mother's death.
This is what happened.
I think a lot of that
you caused this. You're the reason she's dead.
Yeah. Well, no, he goes, you thought you were causing trouble for your brother, and you got your mom.
You led them right to your mother.
Yes.
And Loki kind of doesn't accept it. And Loki ends up back in that room. He leaves
after he gets the Infinity Stone thing.
Because he's still got the Tesseract.
Yeah.
And he goes back in that room, and he plays the tape all the way to the end.
All the way.
And he finds out how he changes. He finds out that he and his brother become close.
That one moment that I really love from Ragnarok when Odin says, my sons. And Loki is like, oh my God, he really did accept me.
Yeah. Yeah. He sees Thor, you know.
Be his loving brother who really actually does care about him. And then, of course, he sees how he
dies at the hands of Thanos. And Loki, he lets the tape run out, and he's just sitting there. And Mobius comes back in the room, and he's like, did you try to use that? And he goes, yeah, repeatedly.
But magic. First of all, I didn't realize the Infinity Stones were magic. But apparently magic doesn't work in the
time. Magic doesn't, yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, it was...
And that's kind of... So they set up...
And he breaks Loki. Like that...
Maybe.
But that broke him in that moment. And it affected him
in the moment. Well...
I'm weak... And I use my power over people to inspire fear because I am weak and I need that to survive.
His behavior is very different.
Yes.
Now, whether that's because he broke or whether that's because he's now doing something else, like he's playing Mobius, that will be revealed.
And he's like, what do you want from me? Mobius is like...
There's another great line in the initial interview that we skipped, which I also think is critical, where he's like, you're not the hero of the story.
Yeah.
You're just a minor character who causes problems so that the real heroes can, like, rise.
Yeah, yeah. Because he talks about Agent Phil Coulson. He's like,
yeah,
stabbed him. He's like, yeah, you literally made them avenge one man. Like, that's what... You created the Avengers. Like, you are the catalyst.
Yeah.
That was the whole thing. It's like, you are one person that causes trouble that everyone else rises up against to defeat. And it breaks Loki. And Loki's finally like, what do you want from me?
Well, again, maybe it breaks
maybe Loki. Maybe it breaks him. And Mobius basically tells him, I need your help to track down a very dangerous variant. And he's like, who? And he goes, you.
You.
And that's when we get another look at the TVA finding a variant.
Well, yeah, there's a squad deploys. It's a squad that was with Mobius originally when they were in medieval France.
Yeah.
And we should point out the evil variant struck in medieval France, killed a team.
Yeah,
and
he asked him who did. He had this little boy. Well,
there's a little boy who saw everything and has like a pack of like TVA gum.
Yeah,
blueberries. Yeah. And he points to like the stained glass painting of Satan.
Of Satan, yeah.
And of course, we're all like, ah, finally, yeah. Mephisto.
Yeah, no.
No, I actually didn't think that. That's a running joke between me and Chris, my friend Chris. Is this Mephisto? But I just thought it was going to be like, yeah, well, you know, there's mutants that look like the devil, blah,
yeah,
blah, blah.
Yeah.
But, you know, you think about the horns, like Loki's helmet.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's Loki is the variant. And so that team that was with Mobius shows up. They find, like, a space shovel.
Yeah.
Which, you know, from a Chap May set.
Yeah.
And they're
and gonna, all this oil spread out.
Yeah, all this oil spread out. Like, oh, some guy from the future wanted to come back and get a wildcat strike before it. I honestly, this was the only part of the thing I thought was really dumb, is then you see this cloaked figure, which is obviously
in the distance,
evil Loki,
yeah,
and it drops a lantern, and like these guys who have been utterly invincible up to this point,
burned alive
as they try to run away from burning oil in their space uniforms.
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, okay, that was pretty freaking stupid.
Yeah.
But and what was interesting is you don't actually see Loki.
Loki's face, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, assuming it is Loki. So it's a variant Loki. Now, one thing that we skipped, there's a lot of little details.
Yeah.
In the Tara Strong video,
yeah,
you know, she explains about how people become variants and blah, blah, blah. But what you see is, like, the one little character they follow, you see, like, one has a top hat, one is a cuphead.
Oh, yeah.
Like, there are different versions of that guy by the timeline. Yeah. The point being, there are all these, like, they're the same guy.
Yeah.
They're clearly the same guy, but they're different.
Yeah.
Like, so that's, I think that's why they had the hood on Loki's cloak, because it's going to be Loki, but it's going to be a different Loki.
Yeah. And, of course, the internet's all abuzz and angry because it's rumored that it's going to be a female version of Loki.
I think they were angry because there was a lot of rumors female Loki would be in the show, and I think they thought that...
Which is funny to me because
she would be replacing Hiddleston. Yeah. Another bait-and-switch thing.
Yeah. Which I don't think they're going to replace
Hiddleston. I don't think they're going to replace Hiddleston. I think she's going to be the antagonist, and I think that's awesome.
Yeah, because they've done female Loki in the comics before.
I have the action figure.
Yeah. So, like, it's not a big stretch for them to go, female Loki!
He's been a little child. He's been everything.
Yeah.
Even in the comics, he's been, like, a little child.
Thor talks about how he turned himself into a snake because Thor likes snakes, and then he bit him.
Yeah.
And it's like, he can, it's the God of Mischief. He can fucking do anything he wants.
He was D.B. Cooper.
That
was a weird little divergence, but kind of fun.
I just like Mobius's, you were D.B. Cooper. That's cool. it was great. I'm anticipating the second episode. I think it's only a 6-episode series.
Okay.
I think.
You know what? Fuck it. I don't care. Yeah. Like, just tell. That was one thing. The only problem I have with the Netflix series is they went on too long.
Yeah, they went on too long. And this will lead us into next month's Black Widow. Which is sad because Black Widow should have came before the rest of
all. Yeah, I'm pretty sure there's stuff in Black Widow that, especially Falcon and Winter Soldier, set up for stuff like that.
Because I think we get introduced to Contessa.
Introduced to Contessa, so you know who she is.
Yeah.
Owen Wilson is great. I think he's playing it. I think both he and Hiddleston are playing it very subtle because they're two smart guys that are, like, you know, kind of
at odds
with each other. Yeah, but they're playing a game. They're doing a dance.
Yeah, they're doing a dance.
Because they both need each other.
Yeah.
I think Loki's attitude changes when he realizes that he needs Mobius.
He needs Mobius. Yeah, I agree.
First of all, I think the TVA is going to kind of end up being bad guys or at least antagonists. I mean, somewhat. They already are.
Yeah, somewhat.
But like,
more antagonistic.
I think because that whole trial thing was just. Really
well, and apparently
bullshit.
The judge is going to get involved in the action at some point, too,
maybe,
from what I've heard.
Okay. But, and the other thing, a part of me is a little, I feel like the stakes got raised so high, you know, Infinity Stones are paperweights. I'm like, it kind of trivializes everything.
Yeah.
So I don't know. That strikes me a little, it bothers me a little bit, but maybe if this all just is self-contained in the Loki series, be okay. But
yeah,
it's just like, I don't know.
Did the comics have the time?
I'm sure.
Yeah.
Mobius is a character. I know that.
Is he?
Yeah.
When I think of Mobius, I always think of, I think of Neil Gaiman's Mobius, right?
You're thinking of Morpheus.
Morpheus, yes. Okay.
Although Mobius, I think Mobius is the name of one of the new gods.
Really?
I think so. Isn't he the time guy in the chair?
Possibly.
See, there's a thing called the Mobius strip, which is the symbol for infinity.
Yes.
And then that's also the name of a very popular, his real name is something Girard.
Mobius M. Mobius.
Yeah.
Oh, it was originally a member of the Time Variance Authority's junior management. And through meticulous attention to detail, he was promoted to the position of executive and senior manager. First encounter of the Fantastic Four.
Well, that was the thing, is like, because all the rumors are that Kang is going to be the next big villain.
Yes.
And I'm like, well, if you've got a whole Time Variance Authority, I don't know how a guy like Kang, because Kang's a time traveler, for those of you who are in the comics. Like, that's his big shtick. So, I don't know
how. So, something's going to happen to the TVA to
maybe,
allow all
maybe,
of this.
Maybe. Or maybe that's supposed to happen.
Oh.
It's a friggin', that was a little cop-outy. But again, it was, but at the same time, if you assume that the Space Lizards, the Timekeepers, are this almost sort of fascist kind of, I mean, they call it the sacred timeline. I mean, they're like fans.
Yeah.
And they're like, this is my timeline.
Yeah.
And I have the power to make sure that nothing changes it.
Nothing happens to it.
But I want I can play favorites.
Yeah.
Because I'm a fascist dickhead.
Yep.
I'm an evil space lizard.
Yep. Exactly.
So, I originally was annoyed by that, but now I'm kind of good with it because it's like, no, they're playing favorites. They keep using when they kill someone, they call it pruning.
Yeah.
And they talk about branches. It is like they're a gardener making their perfect topiary.
Yes, yes, yes. Which is all going to turn out to bite them in the ass, I imagine.
I hope so.
Yeah.
I hope Loki's the guy that does it.
Yeah. So, good first episode. Good first outing.
Liked it. Liked it a lot.
Yep. I think so far they're 3 for 3.
I agree. I think there were a few minor issues with Falcon and Winter Soldier. I think, you know, it got a little... I think by having the villain sort of be sympathetic, but sort of being a monster,
right,
was a little muddled.
A little heavy-handed.
A little muddled. It's like, you know, you're supposed to feel you're supposed to feel for her, and you kind of get where she's coming from, but then she murders a bunch of people.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. But on the whole, I've very much enjoyed the three shows I've seen so far.
Yes, I have too. There you go, guys. We'll be back next week with an all-new show, so make sure you tune in then. And until next time, Dave Eade.
You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here.
The Toy Bar Peeps, it's closed. Peace out.